I would have been happy
to let someone else come up here tonight. But I feel the Lord moving on my heart, and I'm going to share with you what He's given me by the help of the Lord.
I wrote, "Heirs Together." That may cue some of your minds to a verse in the Bible you probably heard before. That verse is found in the 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And it's in the 7th verse. Now we're going to read down to this verse tonight in this chapter. But I want to start off by reading this section of this verse that we wrote on the board. It says, speaking of the husband and wife as being heirs together of the grace of life. I believe in my heart very strongly that marriage is the most precious thing the Lord has given us here on earth. Now, understand what I'm saying. There's salvation. That's our spiritual blessing. But when we start to speak of duties, responsibilities, and blessings, I do not believe there is a greater one that God has given to us than marriage. When God put Adam in the garden, to start off with, you know, I know God is not fooled. I know God knows what He's doing. And I know that He knew that Adam needed something. He needed somebody. He knew exactly what he needed. I don't understand, and I'm not fixing to expound to you why He did it, because I still don't understand. I'm telling you how I am right now. I don't understand why God put him there, let him stay there for a while, and then decided, well, he needs to help me. God knew that from the start. He knew it. He had a purpose. Maybe one day I'll understand. But you know, it's a wonderful blessing. It started right in the beginning, and I can't quite get the word out. I'm searching for it. But there is no greater thing to fight for in this life, on this earth. Now understand, we're putting salvation into its context to us individually. When we begin to talk about things on this earth, there's nothing greater to fight for and to get right than our marriages. You stop and think about that. There's no greater thing. There's a lot of things if we're not extremely successful at, well, that maybe we can overcome that. There is no greater thing to get right in this world, in our daily lives, than our marriage. And I'm not talking about just the one you choose. Lord, bless you. If you haven't chosen one yet, that's an important decision. Choose the right one. But I'm talking about how we conduct ourselves in that marriage. It's extremely important. It is to me, but that's not really what I'm saying tonight. It's of utmost importance to God that we are serious about it and we are intent on doing what's right in our marriage and handling it the right way. You know, I need to throw in a disclaimer real quick. The Lord knows I need this message tonight too, okay? Maybe I'll just put it that way. The Lord knows I need this message tonight too. But you think for a minute. And I'm not fixing to lay the blame on anybody else. We're all individual people. We make our decisions regardless of the lot that your life has dealt you, regardless of the decisions your parents made, regardless of the way they handled their marriage. Now it's your turn. And how are you going to do it? It's in your hands now. And you know what? God bless you. If you've had a hard time, if you had parents that didn't give you an example, that didn't show you how it's to be done, God bless you, and He can. He can. You know, if you live for, if you love Jesus and you live for Him and you seek Him how to do what's right in your life and in your marriage, the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. And you know what? That will involve saying, I'm sorry. I promise you. I promise you that you won't get it right every time. Okay? We really, I don't believe we should even expect that out of each other. But we should expect. And Lord, help me to be careful with that comment. The Lord can help us. It should be something we're serious about, working on, seeking, trying to do. And can you imagine for a moment? We're sitting here right now, and thank God for the group that's here tonight. But you just think about it for a moment. If every couple had seriously tried. Now, I'm not saying they did everything perfect. I'm just saying they seriously tried to do what was right. And when they realized they were wrong, they made corrections. They worked on it. They prayed together. They sought the Lord together. They desired to do what was right in their marriage. Can you imagine what it would be like tonight? You want to outreach. You want... Wow! I promise you, this world would be a different place. I have no doubt in my mind. Even with everybody making their own decisions, if parents, if every couple that ever got married, if every set of parents had sought the Lord and tried to do what was right in their marriage, can you imagine the world we would live in today? I can't even think of, I can't even imagine, but I tell you what, it'd be a wonderful place. And you talk about an outreach. We want to save souls. We want people to be saved. Here's where we got to start. We got to start here. Why? Just why? Why do we have to start here? Why is it so important? Okay. Number one, you're married to somebody. I know a lot of people here are married, and a lot of people are thinking about it, but a lot of people are married. Does what that other person does, your spouse, does it affect you at all?
Yes.
When they've had a bad day, or maybe they're just off of it a little bit on one day, and they're maybe grumpy, maybe just having a hard time, maybe not grumpy, maybe just hard time, maybe it's been a hard day, and it's just a little, and you know what? Something's said, or something's done, and here it comes. You know, what we do affects each other. And you know what? It's not even the person having the bad day only. It's the person who's responding to them. All right? So that's one reason why. We have an effect on the other person, on their spiritual walk. They still have to make their own decisions, yes. They have to decide what they're going to do. But we're having an effect on it. How easy are we making it on them? How hard are we making it on them by what? The way we're treating our marriage. The way we're treating each other. How easy or hard. You know what? Sometimes I think we get this temptation to sit back and say, look at me. Been married 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25, 50 years. Look at me. I stay, you know, and... How hard was it? How hard did you just make it because you knew you couldn't not make it? Because you knew God wouldn't accept that? That was clear. God wasn't going to accept divorce. He doesn't. So you know you had to make it. So you're patting yourself on for 50 years that was torture? Hard time? Did you really help this person make it that 50 years? 5 years? 10 years? I'm not picking on anybody tonight. Did you help them make it? Or was it just because they knew they couldn't just walk out and leave you? They knew God wouldn't accept that. What did you do to help them get there? Lord, help me. God, have mercy on me. I want to make sure I'm a trial enough to be around. I can tell you that right now sometimes. I'm not the fastest moving person in the world. There's a lot of reasons why. It sure doesn't need me because I'm not trying to help my wife make it. It sure doesn't need to be because I'm just going to be who I am and she can deal with it. She can deal with my personality. She can deal with who I am. And she's got to. I married somebody who knew they got to. So they can't just run out on me. No, that's, Lord, help me. God, have mercy on me. I want her to stay because she wants to. Because this relationship is the most profitable thing in the world to her. There's nowhere, she couldn't leave because how could she make it without me? Not how is she going to make it with me? I don't want her thinking that. I don't want her at night when she's praying going, God, please help me. I don't know how I'm going to make it with this guy. You stuck me with him, you know, and we're at 12 years now. We've got at least 38 years more. Could you just take him? Or so, I don't want her thinking about that. But you, I mean, it's a little humorous, but Lord help us. It's the way we live sometimes. Lord, I'm not pointing, I'm just saying as humans, it's the way we live sometimes. Especially as those taught that you can't go anywhere. You can't divorce. But they're stuck, so it doesn't matter now. Lord help me. So we need to work on our marriages because we affect each other. Okay? I had and we're going to read some verses tonight. I'm just going to share my heart with you. We'll leave that in the Lord's hands, though. But we're going to get to some verses, but I'm going to share my heart with you along the way with the help of the Lord. I have opportunity for the first 8 years or so of my career after college to work with kids. And I worked in a therapy setting, physical, occupational, speech therapy. So we work with disabled children, physically disabled children. And some of their things affect them through the whole gamut, emotionally as well. So I had a couple coming in, a child, you know, their parents were bringing him. In the midst of this child coming to me, his parents decided they were going to get a divorce. Now, sad to say, that's not a shocker anymore. It's not in the world we live in. You know what? Let me throw something in there. Let's do all we can to make it a shock. Let's make our marriages the kind that have an effect to where, what's this going on here? What's going on? These people are happy together, and let's try to do that. But anyways, this couple was getting a divorce, and they were bringing their child still to therapy. So one would bring him one day, one would bring him another, and they would come. And he began to get emotionally a wreck. I don't know how else to say it. His parents would drop him off, and he would run back for them. And he would just scream and cry. When he knew they were leaving, knew his dad was leaving, particularly this part of the story was with his dad, he would run back to him screaming and crying. And he would grab hold of him, and he would just cling to him, and his dad said, what's going on? Why is he acting like this? And I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I miss things sometimes. I'm thinking, really? he's like 3 years old, 4 years old, and the home that he's living in, the only home he's known, the parents, they're his parents. Remember, he's part of both of them. He's more than just, he's connected. And you're fishing to take this home and just split it up. Where's he going? What are you going to do? You're going to cut him in half and hand him one to the other? It would almost, and it wouldn't be, but you know what I mean? The way he's feeling is like, go ahead. I mean, in his own little mind, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, he can't deal with this. What's going on? You know, it was there. I, you know, I told you I'm going to share my heart with you tonight, and I would say this to any of y'all if you asked me. It was in that moment I formulated an opinion. Obviously, divorce happens, but I thought it'd be a good time to enact a law that if a couple was going to get a divorce, they had to spend 24 hours a day in a torture chamber so they could understand what's going on with their kid and get a grip on what's happening to them. How, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? That verse has just stuck with me about a family and about a lot of things, but about the family. The foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ones who, I mean, they're wanting to do what's right, even. Wanting to do what's right, but if you just rip out from under them the very stability in their life, what can they do? What can they? How can they not be an emotional wreck? How can, and you know what? In the world's getting today, where that's just the way it is. Oh, we're just emotional wrecks, I guess. That's just the way. No, God didn't set it up where people were emotionally wrecked because of His creation. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Emotionally wrecked because not taking care of the thing that matters the most in this life. I'm trying to talk about practical life. The life we live every day, the thing that matters most is not being taken care of. How can they get a foothold to step up in life? We've got to go back to the very basics and try to heal something. The Lord's got to heal it. That's all I know. The Lord's got to heal it. So you know, our marriages, they matter. And you know what? Okay, so you're not getting a divorce. Sometimes I believe children witness things that maybe it's better if you just don't live together. I know that. I'm not meaning that. You understand what I'm saying? It's that bad, the way that the parents treat each other. And you know, I don't want to go too far with that at all, but children know what goes on behind closed doors because they're there. They see it. We can hide it from everybody else, but you can't keep it from your children forever. If you're not working on your marriage, you're not treating each other the way it should. You know, you go along and everybody thinks everything's fine, but you know, your children grow up and they're harboring something. They've got something in them. They're like, you know what? You didn't treat her the way you should have. You didn't treat him the way you should have. Why did you do that? And what are all the things going through their minds? So you see, it affects our partners, it affects our husbands, our wives, our spouses, but also affects our children. We love them, right? Love them more than... Yes! You know, I look at my wife and I love her, but I look at my children and I think, no! I would never want to do that to them. I wouldn't want to do it to her. I wouldn't want to do it to them either. I know what would happen. I know how it would hurt them. I know how they would feel about me. I don't want to put it there. I want to work on my marriage, and I want it to be what it should be. You know, I wrote here in some of my notes, I wrote, people need to see a difference. Not just hear it. They need to hear about the truth. They need to see it. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That was an action. That wasn't, he didn't say if I be preached. Now, I believe in preaching, but you understand what I'm saying? All of it has to work together to lift him up. Lift him up. And if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. The way we live our lives in our marriage, it affects people outside of our family circle. It touches them, the people in the community. They find out pretty quick what kind of couple we are. They know, you know, I hope we don't try to put on fronts, but sometimes we try to a little bit maybe. But it doesn't take too many times of somebody coming around and they really understand pretty quick. Do you really have something? Do you really have something? Is it really evident? The way that you handle your marriage, it's one of the biggest signs to that. One of the biggest signs. So tonight, We're just going to read a few verses here. We'll see where the Lord takes us. But the purpose of these verses is to get us thinking about the importance of this and where our focus should be. I'll tell you something else too. This is the kind of scriptures readings that we don't necessarily always like to hear in the flesh. I guess probably most, you'll understand what I'm saying is if you've already looked here, you can understand how everything can go south. You pray for me. If this one goes south, I'm afraid I'm going to be in trouble. Anyways, the verse here says, chapter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversations of the wives. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, I believe the scriptures bear out that the relationship of a husband and wife is not taskmaster and servant. This is not what this verse is saying. All you guys, young men, getting that in your heads, thinking, well, that'll be the day. I have my own little servant running around the house. That's not what this is saying, okay? Not at all. So, you know, I said that, and I think some people would back me up on that, okay? And the Word does, if you read through the Word. That's not what this scripture is saying. What it is saying, though, is God did have a plan, okay? There's a reason for it. And in that plan, He put these two together as heirs together. The grace of God. You see that scripture? It's right in with this section here, okay? So it's a together thing. It's a unity thing. It's an equal thing, all right? But when He put it together, He planned. He created the man, okay? He created everything about him. He knows exactly how He made him. All right? And He knows what He made him to be and to do. And when that man is in subjection to God, in the place where he needs to be, he is a very effective tool if he's allowed to be what he's supposed to be. Through and allowed, because what did I say earlier? We have an effect on each other. This scripture is saying that a wife doesn't need to get in the way, to clamp down, to suppress, to be in charge of her husband. Okay? It's not her duty to tell him when he's going to get up, when he's going to get down, when he's going to go to work, when he's going to, all, he's not her duty to line out his day in every way. You see how I'm so thankful, and I want to be clear tonight. I'm so thankful for a wife who does not do that with me. I have a precious wife, and I appreciate her very much. But it's not your duty to be in charge. It's truthfully not his either. But if you understand, that's hard to say that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But you know why it's not? God made him as a protector. He made him with strengths. And his strengths are not along the lines. Well, and we'll get to some of this tonight, but his strengths are along the lines of protection, of standing up, of bearing the brunt of this world. God did not make... Women are very strong in their way. Understand, it's an equal thing. Don't get me wrong tonight, what I'm talking about. But He made the man to stand up, to be the protector, to bear the brunt of this world, to bear... To head it face on, to protect his family. Now, so, you know, I'm having a priest pray for me. So, if you want to be successful in your life, just realize God's not asking you to be a servant, ladies, tonight. He's not asking you to be a slave to your husband. That's not what He's talking about. But realize He made him to be the leader. That's the word I'm looking for. I hope that clarifies it. He made him to be the leader of the family, of the couple. He made it that way for a reason. Not to have some kind of hierarchy or anything, but because He made him with the things to be able to do that. Okay? He made him that way. All right? And He made you a very special way too. He's got a plan for you as well. He's got something that a man can't do. And if you switch it around and you try to do it the other way, it's not going to work the way it needs to. Okay? Because He can't do your job any more than you can do His the right way. Okay? So it says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation or behavior of the wives. Behavior. You know, one of the hardest things to do, and this is truthful both ways, but I know a lot of ladies maybe that have had to deal with husbands who weren't saved. For some reason, I don't know why. I know we have a congregation where it's flipped around, and every time we look at it, it seems a little strange because it just seems like it doesn't happen that way. But I want to throw something out there to you. You're going to get a lot further through behavior than you will through trying to beat it with words. Your behavior is what's going to have the greatest effect on your husband. Is he not quite doing what's right? You want to put a guilt trip on his head? You do what's right. You do the right thing. Make that your focus. Don't focus on trying to correct him necessarily. Focus on being an example, on conducting yourselves the way that you know you should. The way that God set it up. He made you incredible. When you shine the way you're supposed to, it's unbelievable. I stand back and I'm amazed at my wife sometimes. I can't believe the things she gets done. You know, I almost feel like she doesn't really need me sometimes. And probably, maybe she doesn't. I don't know. I hope she does. I hope I fulfill my part strong enough that she does. But I'm telling you, you're amazing. When you just do, just don't try to beat in any. Don't try to beat him down or anything. Just be the example. Just do what you know you're supposed to. You can't make him feel any more guilty. You know, if you start getting in that tit for tat or trying to tell him everything, he can handle that a lot better. Most of the time, I'm just telling you, than you just being what God created you to be. And being meek and submissive and having the behavior that you should as a wife. All right? While they behold your... That's the reason he wrote these verses. Paul was on to something here. He knew how they could get them. Those who were not doing right. He knew how to get them in. He said, just keep doing it. Just act the way you're supposed to. You're going to draw them in. It's going to be hard for them not to. And it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. You know, oh Lord, help us. We can spend a lot of time getting off into all this, what this verse is saying. Don't go trying to win him back by your behavior, by your actions. Not by, you know, sometimes a husband goes away or something, or a husband's not doing what they're supposed to, and it tempts the wife to try to look a little more like the world, to try to draw him back. You don't want to go there. Don't go there. Remember, You don't know what might happen, but you don't want to lose the Lord above all. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. If you do, then what's going to happen? What's going to draw Him back? Okay? Don't lose your focus. Don't start thinking you're going to make everything right by going the way He's going. Don't do that. Be true. Be faithful to the Lord in what you're doing. But let it be of the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. You know, there's a little tone here of maybe there being a lost spouse. But you know, these things apply. Let's just wipe that off for a minute. They apply to just the working of a marriage, okay? You're going to help your husband more if you just stay faithful. You keep being that child of God that's on their knees and praying and meek and quiet spirit and adoring those things and focusing on those things. God, nowhere in this scripture did He not say He didn't want you to be beautiful. He didn't want you to look pretty, okay? It's not said anywhere in these scriptures. Someone who tries to take these scriptures and say that's what God is saying is not reading what's here and not applying what's here. You know, it's hard. You need to be on your knees deciding where that line is. But make sure you're on the right side of that line. Tonight, if you want an effective marriage, don't be drawn over that line by anything. Stay focused on your soul. You know, I want to say something here, and this will be a little bit aside. But the best way I know how to, and you've got to pray, because only God can show you that line and where it is. For sure, in your life. But you know what? When you start getting to where you're trying to... I don't know how to say that quite right. So I'll just leave that completely alone. I don't know that it's really even my place to say it. Just pray. And stay on the right side of that line in life. Don't go worldly. Don't go after those things. Look pretty. Take care. You know, we all need to take care of ourselves. Take care of yourselves. That's all fine. Dress, but don't go on the other side of that line and start going the way of the world into those fashions, okay? It's important. That's still important. Modesty and carefulness. And the Lord can help you. And you know what? Don't anybody start looking around and deciding where that line is for everybody else. Now, there's some obvious things, but and modesty really comes along the lines there. But you know what? That's something everybody has to pray and figure out. But do it. Be careful in your life. You're not going to help him by going the other way, okay? You're not going to be productive in your marriage because you know what? God's got that line right where you're beautiful to your husband and safe in this world. He's got that line right where it needs to be. It's so important. You pray yourself and you find that out. He knows where that line is. He knows how to help you know where it is. And He knows just how to make you beautiful to your husband and safe in this world. And for your marriage, you need that. You need it both ways. Okay? It needs to be there. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. All right, you know, this little passage here, we're about ready. This kind of ends what God was saying, thank you, to the ladies. And I thought to myself, you know, God, there's 6 verses here to women, and there's 1 verse to a man. And I said, "What? Why is that? That mean we're getting off easier?" No, it's not. God knew He had, I guess, had to put it simple to us and keep it simple for us to understand. I don't know. But there's 1 scripture here. But it, you know what? It's got just as deep of things in it for us. Because, you know, it's important for a wife to be living the way she needs to be and working on her marriage. But you know what? It's just as important for the husband. You know, we Lord help me. we don't need to be neglecting our walk. You remember the verse in the Bible that talks about how that the seed was thrown on good land and it sprung up? It was, you know, it was soil that allowed the seed to grow and be what it needed to. So it's good land. They don't really say that right there. But it says the thorns, the thistles and all, they grew up around that plant and they choked it out. And it said, this is the ones who allow it to grow. But then the cares of this world, the problems of this world, they come, the cares and all that, they come up and they choke out that plant. And you know what? This can be ladies, men, women. But you know what? I believe it speaks real strongly to the men. Because sometimes we get out there and we think, well, I've got this next job to do. I've got the, okay, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this done. And all right, well, we're going to do it. And we go all day. And where was the time that we were supposed to be spending? For ourselves? Where was the time? Oh no, my wife will do that. She'll get the kids in bed tonight. She'll read the prayers and everything with them. No, God made us to do that as well. To be taking time with our children. We don't need to let the cares of this world make it where we're not. And you know, we all have different jobs. We have different ways we're going to have to get it done. But we better be figuring out how we're getting our own walk with the Lord focus going, but also how we're going to be our part in the family to teach and the children about this God. Is this just mama's God? That's what's going on a lot in the world. It's just mama's God. Daddy works. That's what daddy does. Daddy works and mama tells us about Jesus. That's not the way God intended it to be. It's just as important that we're listening and hearing and our walk, that we're tender. We don't like that word sometimes. I'm not going to be tender. What do you tell? Peter told Jesus, he said, you're not going to wash my feet? Well, you know what? I'm not going to be tender. I'm going to be tough. You're going to have to be tender to the Lord. Or just like he told Peter, you have no part with me. If I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part with me. If we're not willing to tender up towards the Lord and allow him to speak to us, allow him to deal with the things in our lives that need to be dealt with, we can't be what we need to be either. So, here's our verses. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I read some things in Clark here that were very enlightening. I want to just read straight from some of his things here. It says, give your wives, by no species of unkind carriage, unkind handling, unkind taking care of them, unkind behavior towards them. Don't, by any of that, don't give them any excuse for delinquency. For how can a man expect his wife to be faithful to him if he is unfaithful to her? Now that has obvious implications, but you know what? That means everything. That means how you treat her, how you handle her. There is no excuse. We should do it the right way. You know what? We bear a great responsibility for how we're doing that. I don't know how to say that elsewise. Sometimes we want to blame it on the other. They go and do things that aren't right. What was I doing? How can I expect her to treat me the way I want to be treated when I'm not doing the same back to her? There's no reason. You know, every time we get tempted to tell your wife, and I advise you not to do this, but if you're ever tempted to tell your wife what she's not doing right and try to correct her, that's a good sign from God that you need to go pray somewhere and figure out what you're doing wrong. Because there's somewhere you're messing up, I guarantee it. Personal experience. And you know what? It didn't take, I'm not saying that to say my wife told me. She did not. She would not do that. But the Lord can show you. If you'll stop when you feel that way about something, you go pray, you can save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of embarrassment, if you'll do that, because God will show you what's going on in your life. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, don't dare sit there and fuss about her not being where she needs to be. All right? Our responsibility is to be what we should be. And it says, giving honor unto the wife. Here, Clark said, protect, support, maintain, provide. You know, it says in the Bible, about honoring your husband, honoring him maybe. Maybe I'm just making that up in my head. I was thinking there was a verse there where it actually says honor. Reverence. Okay. That's pretty popular. I don't know that, but it seems like that is pretty popular. You know, this is saying we should be honoring her. See, that little unequal thing where we're the taskmaster and we're telling her what to do, that's disappearing, okay? Disappearing a little bit now. Giving honor to the wife. You know, it talks about loving her as Christ loved the church. Yes. You know, you're going to be on your knees. You're going to be praying. And you're going to be getting down and doing everything you can to support this wonderful lady that God has given to you. To protect her, to support her. What else does it say? Protect her, support, maintain, and provide. When she's down, Lord help me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not perfect at this. I need the Lord to help me. But when she's down, we don't go ignoring her. We figure out what we can do. And if ignoring her is what she needs us to do, then sometimes that's what we need to do. Just get out of the way. Don't try to, you know, sometimes we want to try to fix it. Don't. Figure out what she needs. Maintain. To support her. Learn. I'm still learning. I've been married 12 years. I'm still learning and I'm trying to. We're going to learn all of life. But learn. Desire to learn. Learn what you can do to help her. She's, what does it say, the weaker vessel. That means you're supposed to be figuring out ways to help her. Can you imagine if we're doing this? You talk about an outreach. We said that to start with. Can you imagine if husbands are, you know, my wife's having a hard time. You know, she loves roses. I'm going to bring her roses today. No, she just wants me to listen.
I ain't got time to listen. I got a job to do.
Yeah, you do. And you know what it is? It's supporting her and maintaining her. That's what you've got to do. That's what's most important in your life. And I know there are responsibilities. Sometimes you really can't be two places at once. But that better probably be why you're not doing it, okay? Anyways, and you can figure out a way. You can figure out a way. When those times come, they'll be understanding if they know that you're trying to do that. Trying to figure out how to support them and take care of them. And help them in all times. In their happy times, in their sad times. That's what the vows say, right? In their happy times, sad times. It's not about how it's making you feel. That's not what it's about. We get off on that sometimes. Well, it's just, man, it's hard to kind of get. No. Get off the self-righteous, self-absorbed thing and start being a husband. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Pray for her. Support her. Listen to her. Whatever she needs. I've become convinced everybody's different somehow in this world. I guess looking out here and not seeing two people that look alike kind of tells me that we're all different. All the way around. Figure it out. That's your best friend for life. That's what marriage is, guys. Okay? Girls. You're not just trying to. This is your best friend for life. Let me tell you something. I know. I married my wife because she's pretty. I promise you. That's why I liked her the first time I saw her. I didn't know a thing about her. Okay? But you know what I found out? She is my best friend. I have nobody closer. And that doesn't mean I don't always. It doesn't mean there's. But she is my best friend. And I thank God for her. And that's what it is. And you don't have a best friend that you just kick to the curb when they're not perfect one day. When they're not feeling perfect or they're not having a perfect day. Or you don't kick them to the curb. You don't ignore them. You figure out how to help them. That's what it means to be married. That's what it means to be best friends. It says, as unto the weaker at vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And it says, let me go back to this weaker vessel thing and read what Clark said here. It said, roughness and strength go hand in hand, so likewise beauty and frailty. The one is good in its place as the other. By these things God has made an equality between the man and the woman, so that there is very little superiority on either side. It's one thing I hope tonight, amongst other things, but this is heirs together. That's the God I'm praying, and the Lord tonight gave me this title. I believe that with all my heart, to make the point. One of the greatest burdens of the marriage is realize this is a together thing. We talked about some behaviors. We talked about some things. We talked about them so that we can learn to work together. It was not to try to get everybody focused on every little thing. It's to give us some examples and try to learn how we can work together. Because, you know, it's vitally important. It's spiritually important. Emotionally important. It is our greatest outreach. Starts with our marriage. That's where the greatest importance. And you know what? We want to live our lives. Clark alludes to this in his closing remarks here. But we want to live our lives so that when it's time to hit our knees, do we ever have to do that as Christians? When it's time to hit our knees, God has given us each other as a married couple so that now we hit our knees together. And you know what? I need to do that more. I forget that sometimes. I think I'm just going to handle this on my own. I'm going to pray about this on my own. God gave us each other. I can tell her anything. She can tell me anything. And we can pray about it together. We don't have to be embarrassed. We can share whatever. Can you imagine that? You've got somebody here on earth. It's what God gave us. And each other. We got somebody here on earth that we can share anything with. And some people who are young, you don't understand how awesome that is. Okay? Because you can go to them. And they're going to support you. That's what they're supposed to do. That's the way it's supposed to work. And when we do that, Lord help me. You pray for me. I want to do that. You know why? I want to make heaven. I want her to make heaven. I want my children to make heaven. And if I'm not doing what I need to in my marriage, there's a big old roadblock, a huge roadblock, a huge stepping stone in the way. But I want to say the perfect husband I am. No. No. But if I'm working on my marriage and I'm serious about it, I'm making it a focus in my life, realizing it is my salvation, but it's almost just like this. It's almost just like this. It's so important and has such a great effect. What I'm doing with my marriage, I want to be successful. I want to be able to have an outreach. I want to be able to bring souls in. Lord, help me. This is where it's going to start. You pray for me.